Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see the reality that you are the King, that you are exalted, that you are seated on high, that you are ruling over all of your creation, that you are the one with all power and all authority, that you are holy and righteous without fault of any kind, and at the same time you are loving and gracious. We are in awe of you, we marvel at you, we worship you this morning, and we invite you to draw us in to your righteousness, draw us into your love. Speak by the power of your Spirit into each heart this morning. Speak and reveal yourself to us. And enable us, Lord, to believe what you say, to claim your promises, to say yes and amen to everything that you have for us and everything you want from us and want to do in us. We are in awe of you. You are exalted. You are the King forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin this morning, I'd like us to pray one more time. And so often we tack on a prayer at the end of our service, but I want us to pray the Lord's Prayer together as a way to prepare our hearts for what we're going to see in God's Word, and then as we want the Spirit to activate that prayer in each of us. Would you pray the Lord's Prayer with me? And especially notice the words, forgive. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When we are invited to pray that prayer, both as words to repeat according to Luke's gospel and as a pattern of prayer according to Matthew's gospel, it's Jesus giving us what we need on an ongoing basis in our communion with, our communication with our Heavenly Father. We want to be people who are praying the full will of God, the full counsel of God. And the Lord's Prayer helps us pray so many crucial things, such as recognizing at the very beginning, our Father is who we're talking to, not some distant sovereign who only extends a firm, demanding rod of justice, but our Father who loves us. So we enter into this prayer, and in the very middle of it is this crucial section where we're asking Him to forgive us. Forgive us our trespasses is the words that we commonly use. The word that's in the text there implies that idea of a sin where you're stepping across the line into something you shouldn't be stepping into. We use no trespassing signs around here to mark off property where we don't want people wandering in. Well, God gives us no trespassing signs, things that we shouldn't be stepping into, participating in, getting involved in. And when we do cross those lines, it's an affront to God. It's a mistake that not only causes consequences in the here and now, but it hinders our relationship. So we're encouraged in the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis to say, God, forgive me for all the things that I've done, where I've crossed the line or where I've fallen short of your expectations or where I've done something contrary to your clear instructions in your word. Forgive me. And the miracle of the good news of Christ is that forgiveness is extended to us by the grace of God. Holiness is required to get into heaven. Holiness is required to get into God's presence. Absolute perfection is a requirement of God. And all of us have fallen short. All of us have crossed the line. All of us have lived lives that are less than ideal. We don't deserve to be in God's presence. But we're invited to receive forgiveness. And every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're not only asking for forgiveness, we're receiving it. When we pray, we want to have a receptive heart. I know different postures are described in prayer, or described in the Bible about how people pray. Sometimes the Bible talks about people falling down on the ground as they pray. But there's also times when people extend hands up in prayer. And this has been an action, a posture that has helped me as I pray. I want to be looking at God and receiving from God. So when we pray, forgive us, we can actually be praying with a sense of receiving that which we have asked of God. We say, God, forgive me, and then we receive it. Do you realize that if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, and you've made a commitment to him that you're going to walk with him in a relationship, that he then extends to you his righteousness. He washes away all of your guilt, all of your sin, all the things you've ever done contrary to his will, they're removed from you as far as the east is from the west. And you're given the gift of an eternal relationship with him, where you enter into his presence forever, starting now and going on forever, never ending. So we want to walk around each day, not as fearful of, oh, all the mistakes I've made, but with an attitude of saying, Lord, if I ever make a mistake, I'm going to immediately turn from it because my relationship with you is so important. I don't want to hinder it in any way. I walk around with an awareness of being forgiven. But then do you know what forgiven people are able to do? Forgiven people are able to forgive those who have sinned against them. Again, we use the word trespass as we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You ever had anybody trespass on you? Anybody step into your life in a way they shouldn't have? Anybody cross a line in your life where they've done something that was contrary to God's perfect standards, even contrary to the standards of the state of the law of our land, or contrary to your own emotional health? People have stepped on us. People have stepped on you. And when we're stepped on, it hurts. When we're sinned against, it causes pain. When someone does something, says something, fails to do something, it causes a reaction in us. We are hurt by the failures of the people around us. Those consequences are felt. The question will be, is do those offenses, those trespasses, those hurts, do they have an ongoing, lingering effect in our lives? Maybe you know some people, like I do, who were horribly hurt and have never been the same since. Something happened to them, and it hurt their hearts so deeply that there's this bitter part of them, a damaged part of them, that forever hinders their ability to live in the full victory and the full joy of the Lord. Why does that happen? Why are so many people stuck like that? The reality is that we are in a constant war. We have an enemy. Yes, we have a God who has created us and made us and extends grace to us, but we also have an enemy, and he's just as real. He's not nearly as strong and powerful, but he is active, and he is at work, and he's sometimes able to influence us. And one of the things the enemy is constantly trying to do is cause others to hurt us, and then for us to react in such a way so that that pain continues to hurt us. Being sinned against is a one-time thing. The ongoing impact of it could last forever in some people's lives. But God invites us to be people who pray every day, Lord, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Forgiveness is supernatural. The enemy is trying to make us bitter. The enemy is trying to make us angry. The enemy is trying to cause us to have an attitude of revenge and trying to get even. But we are invited by God to forgive those who have sinned against us. Our gospel reading is the portion of Matthew where Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. And so often we forget what immediately follows it. These two are Jesus' words. But Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9, is where the Lord's Prayer is listed. It reads this way. Pray then like this. The word implies that this is a model how to pray, a template. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. And then Jesus continues, verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15 is even scarier. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I think it would be best for us if we didn't ignore that verse. We're pretty good at ignoring things we don't want to hear. My doctor tells me I should walk 8,000 steps a day. I keep ignoring him. Jesus says to us to forgive those who have sinned against us. How often do I ignore that advice? Again, it's supernatural, but it's possible. To drive home the point, Jesus told this parable in Matthew chapter 18, starting to read at verse 21. It was prompted by Peter coming up to him and saying, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. And some translations are a little different on translating those Greek words and have it as 70 times seven. Whatever the number, it's a lot more than seven. It's a huge number. Jesus goes on to say this. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, and again, that's what we're interested in, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven. We want to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We want to be experiencing the kingdom of heaven now. And, of course, we long to be in it in the future. But it starts right here. It starts right now. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Look that up in your Bible commentaries and see just what a huge number that is. That's more money than you can earn in a lifetime by far. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made, which would have been partial payment, of course. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the whole debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a pittance in comparison, and seizing him, began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. And then this statement by Jesus, verse 35 of Matthew 18, so also the Heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brothers from your heart. The devil wants to say to you and cause you to believe that the greatest power on earth is revenge. And that's really strong, that revenge mindset in many, many cultures. I hope it's not strong in you. Jesus says the greatest power on earth is forgiveness. Jesus came to initiate a forgiveness revolution. Jesus is the one who, hanging on the cross, looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus came to forgive you and me and us and empower us by that fact of us being forgiven to then turn around and extend forgiveness. The gospel, the good news of Christ, spreads through the avenue of forgiveness. When Christians forgive, it changes people. It changes their ability to perceive the fact that God might be a forgiving God. So we become people who become like Christ, and we forgive. If you want to be like Satan, don't forgive. Just stay in bitterness and revengefulness. If you want to be like Jesus, forgive. Forgive. Unforgiveness is really then an anti-Christ posture. Forgiveness is a Christ-like posture. So how do you forgive? Well, first you need to understand some things about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not minimizing the sin that was done against you. It's not saying, oh, that doesn't matter. No, every sin, every offense is a thing that matters. It's substantial. We don't ignore it. We don't minimize it. We don't say it was nothing. We recognize it for what it is. We don't excuse the offense. Forgiveness is also not denying that it hurt. No, it hurts a lot. It hurts emotionally. Sometimes it hurts physically. We don't deny that reality. And also forgiveness, hear me clearly, forgiveness is not continuing to subject yourself to ongoing abuse. One of the great tragedies in the world is when there's spousal abuse. And there's been too many times when this idea of forgiveness has been pressed upon a woman who really needed to be told, you should not be enduring that kind of abuse. Separate from that abusive situation. You are to be safe, not in constant danger. But then, we preach this truth. Then forgiveness is extended for one's own health. Also, remember that forgiveness is not just an emotional response. Someone might say, well, I don't feel like forgiving. That's not the point at all. Forgiveness is not a feeling. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is an act of the will to obey Christ and tap into the power of Christ to act like Christ. Forgiveness is saying, I choose to never hurt you, even though you did hurt me. Forgiveness is giving up your right to hurt someone else or to get even. Forgiveness is saying, I choose to no longer hold the offense internally. I choose to let it go. I choose to give what happened to me over to Jesus and let Him deal with it. I put you, the one who hurt me, in His hands. I'm no longer going to try to rule over you and exert revenge. It's a decision of the will. It's a choice. It's an act that makes us like Christ. If you want to be like Christ, forgive like Christ. Forgiveness is a voluntary act of putting down our weapons of anger and vengeance and retaliation. We forgive because Christ forgave. I've been thinking about Armenia. We'll be there on Monday night. 9 hours ahead, by the way, so if you call me, I might be sleeping. Have you heard about the Armenian genocide? I'm not much of a history student. Done a little tiny reading. The Armenian genocide. World War I. Ottoman Empire. Turkey. Tried to wipe out the Armenians. Tens and tens and tens of thousands of Armenians wiped out by the Turkish people, Ottoman Empire. There continues to be an offense that's held by that people group and by that nation now against their neighboring nation, demanding that apology be made. It hasn't been given. I'm wondering how strong of a impact, that lingering unforgiveness because of that horrific tragedy and offense is continuing to have on that people group. It's understandable, we might say. Well, of course they have a grudge against this other people. That makes sense. Well, yes, things make sense, but are things good for us? Holding on to unforgiveness, some have said, is like holding on to poison that you're hoping you can pour into the food of someone that's hurt you. But you hold on to that poison, you keep it in a little vial in your pocket, hoping to one day be able to use it, but it's constantly seeping out and impacting you and getting onto your skin and soaking into your whole bloodstream. So you're poisoning yourself. Every day you hang on to that unforgiveness. So Christ invites us to forgive those who have sinned against us. See, God forgave us, so we forgive. Jesus tells us to forgive, so we forgive. As we forgive, it assists us in getting answers to our prayers. Look at Mark chapter 11 someday. Unforgiveness hinders our ability to pray. Forgiveness makes us like Jesus. Forgiveness validates that God has forgiven us. Forgiveness releases others from their bondage, and it releases us from our bondage. A good friend of mine was in a city in South America, and he was doing a college of prayer training event, but the one evening the local pastor invited him to go with him to visit a lady from his congregation. So they went to this apartment building in this metro area, South America, and walked upstairs because no elevator, got to the door, big steel door, knocked. Eventually they heard a noise inside, and a woman said, "Just a minute." And they heard her shuffle to the door, and then they heard her unlock 7 deadbolts, and then shuffle off into the other room and cover herself back up and then say, "Come in." So my friend and this other pastor walked in, and there's this woman cowering, covered. She'd been locked up in her own apartment for years, almost bedridden, but certainly a recluse from society. And they started talking, and the woman had said, pray for my healing. So they started praying, but they really sensed the Spirit saying there's an issue. And so they asked, "What is it that might be blocking you from receiving this healing from Jesus?" And she blurted out, "He raped me! I'll never forgive him!" Well, obviously, the pain of that is real. But the rape was many years ago, and the pain was still destroying her. So they shared some of the scriptures that I've shared with you. They invited her to consider giving that pain over to Jesus. It wasn't easy. It wasn't hard. One of the images that God gave my friend was, is he said, it's like you're holding a dagger of this pain and you keep pressing it into your heart. You need to let Jesus pull that pain out. Let Jesus enter into your area of pain. Let Jesus bring you the relief, the release he wants to extend to you. Jesus understands your pain, and he can heal your pain. They eventually walked through that prayer. She eventually chose to forgive that person that had hurt her so deeply. Later that evening, there was the meeting that was being held, and at the end of it, my friend and the pastor had this woman walk up to him. It was a beautiful, attractive woman, and she said hi to them, and my friend didn't know who she was. And the pastor said, "Well, this is a woman we talked to this afternoon." "No, no way, that's not her. She looks so different." Why did she look different? Because the healing of Christ had changed even the way her body responded. The joy of the Lord was on her heart. The freedom of Christ was in her. She'd been set free. See, I think God wants to set some people free here. I think he wants to set some people free in Armenia. I think he wants to set some people free in the neighboring country. People have been under such horrendous oppression. People have been hurt at a deep emotional level. The people don't deserve to be forgiven. But because we are like Christ, we extend forgiveness just as Christ forgave us. The result? We become more like Jesus. We are set free. We receive spiritual strength and encouragement. We receive the victory of Christ. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to do a scary thing. I'm going to ask God to put into your thoughts the name of the person that you haven't yet forgiven. Try not to yell out too loudly when that image pops into your mind. But I believe God wants to set you free of the pain of the past. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of your willingness to forgive us. We know we have sinned against you time and time and time again. We know we don't deserve to be forgiven, but you are a gracious, merciful God. And we ask you to forgive us our trespasses. And we thank you. We thank you for paying the price for our sin, for dying on the cross, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood that our sins might be washed away. We receive now, by faith in you, forgiveness. And now would you give us the ability to extend your grace to those who have sinned against us? We invite you, Holy Spirit, to bring to mind any offense that we've had done to us, that we have still been hanging on to. We even invite you, Lord, to bring to our minds the face image of a person that we need to forgive. And would you immediately fill us now with your power, with your grace, with your mercy, with your love, with the ability to believe your promises? And we, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to the Word of God, now extend forgiveness to that person who has sinned against us. We choose to let go of that offense. We choose to drop any need for revenge or retaliation. We let go of the anger and the bitterness attached to that. Now, Lord Jesus, would you flood our lives, especially these previously hurt areas, flood us with your goodness. Flood us by the power of your Spirit with your healing balm. Flood us with the joy of salvation. Pour your mercy into us. Make us like you in how we even think about the things that have happened in the past. Give us freedom as we forgive those who have sinned against us. For thine is the power. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. Thine is all that matters. Thine is all the victory. Thine is all that we need for life and for godliness. You get all the credit, and we get to be yours, walking with you into the kingdom right now, living as children of the kingdom. Forgiven people who forgive for the glory of God. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.